What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita Show. I'm your host, Jack Vita. Today we are bringing you the latest exit interview of the 10th person eliminated from Deal or No Deal Island. Only four remain. We've got a lot of coverage coming this week. So joining us today, we've got Aaron Barbell. We will speak with him shortly. Later tomorrow, the next edition of this podcast, this will drop on a Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, we'll have our recap, which will feature Bergie from Love Island and Traitor Season 2. He'll join me and Brooke. And then later in the week, we'll have an edition of Deal or No Deal Island Insiders with, of course, my sidekick, Miranda Rose Harrison. And joining us this week is last week's eliminated contestant, Nick Grasso. So here's what I need. I need you guys to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on all the content we have coming out. Hit subscribe here on YouTube. It's Jack Vita Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. I think about 80% of the people who watch these videos on YouTube are not subscribed. So what are you doing? Hit subscribe, turn on those notifications, and you won't miss out on all of the remaining Deal or No Deal Island content that we have coming out, which includes exit interviews with the final four upon elimination, and we'll speak with the winner in a couple weeks. We only got 2 weeks left, and we'll be bringing you lots of coverage in the time until then and after that. So, without much further ado, let's get to my exit interview, my conversation with Aaron. At this time, we are welcoming in the latest contestant eliminated from Deal or No Deal Island. It's Mr. Aaron Barbell. Did I say that correct?
That's it. Yep.
All right, my man. How are you this morning? How's it? How's everything been?
It's been good. It's been great. You know, the show was a lot of fun. Watching it back has been a lot of fun. I was ready for this. I've been waiting for this because I'm like, I see all these exit interviews and I'm like, I can speak to that. I can speak to that. So I've been waiting for this. So I was like, this would be good. And then I got to it and bam, it got me emotional. Jordan and Wobbs, you know, their speeches that hit me right in the heart. It was emotional moments, but it was a lot of fun no matter what.
Very cool. So I'm going to start you off with a question. I'm sure you've probably been asked the most today, but everyone wants to know, what were you going to do if you had won that game? Who goes home next?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the right game decision, but I was gonna choose to eliminate Stephanie. Look, I don't actually remember saying I will avenge you. I don't remember that saying that, but the mindset was in my mind. And Rob and me had gone through it all. It just been, you know, I really felt like I let him down at times. I felt like I thrown him under the bus. When it came to the plan for the Miranda's truth bomb, you know, Rob was aware of the plan, but he really wasn't the guy who pushed it. I was. So I feel like there's even a moment where they don't show it, but Stephanie, Rob recognized that. Rob said, you know, you've been letting them think that. You've been letting Stephanie think I'm the mastermind, and that's why she thinks it, because I just lean into it because, you know, you don't want to look like a strong, thoughtful player. You want to look like a weak player. You want to look as weak as possible so that you drag to the end. So I leaned into it a little bit hard, and I think Rob took a lot of heat that he just accepted because it was Rob, and, you know, and he didn't. And so I felt like I don't think it wasn't the right game move, but look, Rob's one of my best friends in the world, and sometimes sometimes you leave the head, and I was leading my heart that time.
Yeah, I don't think it would have necessarily been a bad game move, because if you stay in there, they're still trying to get Rob out before they get you out, and it's good to have him on your side, right?
So for sure.
I don't think that's a bad move at all.
I guess the reason is because from what we've heard, what we knew, I was told that the final four you go through a two part finale. So final four, two part finale. Those are the words that were told to us, and that to me speaks to like, oh, it's an individual game. Like it's not going to be a two part finale. Sounds like you know, Big Brother, all three people are vying for the top spot. In this case, it's four people. So I thought that at this point my assumption at this point was that there was no more real alliances, or every person for themselves. So in reality, this was the only time, this was the perfect time to eliminate him if my assumptions were true. But either way, I didn't have the moment, but I think either way, look, it, like Rob is one of the best ever. I think I'll be the best ever at these types of games, but he's not, you know, unbeatable. It's just, you know, Steph's a great competitor as well. It would have given me better odds, and who knows? So, we'll never find out what would have happened, but I don't have any regrets. I wouldn't have had any regrets either way.
What happened at that challenge between you and Rob? Can you explain what was going on there?
I mean, look, Stephanie, I knew Stephanie was lying to me when he said Rob's throwing my name out there. It didn't really make sense. It was like, well, who's he going to, you guys have been at each other's throats. Why would he try to suddenly flip you? I'm like, okay. But she did get into my head. She was like, you know, Rob's out for himself. We're building the cases, and we're all working together. And Rob's never done that. And I had this all my thought, and I really let that get to me. You know, I'm someone who's really emotional, really, you know, clearly, really, you know, wear my heart on my sleeve. So I was like, I don't know. And at the time, I trust Rob, and I'm like, my brain was like, well, what if my moves are beneficial to Rob and hurting me? So I tried to do the middle ground where my, you know, vote less votes meaning less power. I wanted less power so that my decisions had less impact. So I think you got misconstrued. I think Rob was frustrated, but Rob at the end was really frustrated because he literally said, said no to the 75,000. That's why it took him so long. So, that's kind of what happened. It was just me trying to play the middle when I really, really shouldn't have. So, but yeah, it's ironic. I'll answer the question that I've been asking myself is why would you do that? I really struggled with trusting my gut, and that's what I've realized now is like, I just need to trust my gut. And that's what I didn't do. And that's my mistake. But you can't change it. And it's something that now I feel like it's something I've grown with. I feel like I trust my gut a lot more now.
Now you mentioned the term playing the middle in this particular instance. Obviously, it's a very heavily edited show. We only see a little bit of things. I know that a lot of people in the cast have spoken very glowingly of you. Yeah. People who were not on your side from what we're showing, what we're seeing on the show. But we did see a little bit of you and Amy talking, and Amy saying that you guys had a final two. What kind of other deals did you have going on in addition to Rob?
Yeah, I had a lot. You know, I always look at that first half of the show, and I feel like I was almost set up to win. Like, I really could have done it all, but I just played too hard. I tried to get the Miranda truth bomb. She threw that truth bomb. She walked out, and credit her. Like, I shouldn't have. I never should have told her who I wanted to eliminate. I should have let her choose who she wanted to choose. But yeah, I mean, me and Rob and Jamil had an alliance. Me, Rob, and Alyssa, me, Alyssa, and Jordan. I had a kind of a pseudo alliance with Amy that we neither of us really trust each other, but we both like, well, fine. If we win the final two, like, we'll be there. I think the big one that everyone's missing out on is definitely going to be Stephanie. Me and Stephanie, I don't think we have had any specific alliance, but me and Stephanie really, like, for the first week, we were tight. I think, she's someone she's another Bostonian. We went to high school like miles apart, obviously a few decades or two between us, but, she's a midwife. She's a midwife in Alabama. A woman of color, midwife in Alabama. That is a really tough place to be in. And I'm a really big opponent of social issues. We talked a lot about that, and we connect that immediately off the bat. So, to see us, things just didn't work out the way words were said on both sides. So, I had an alliance with a lot of people, and, the credit to the game, I knew, you know, this is the game. I knew this is a game where, you know, voting is no, I can, you can say as long, I always wanted to be in the middle, and I never wanted blood on my hands, because at the end of the day, like if you don't have blood on your hands, like, you'll never be a target. And credit to Jordan. I say, like, Rob's playing an amazing game, but he has to, because he's got the threat. Jordan is playing the game ultimate. If you don't have any name recognition, you play like Jordan. Make no waves. She's playing it perfectly. So that's what my goal was. I had to be flexible, but I definitely made a lot of alliances. That's for sure.
You made mention of it at the end of episode 4. You're voted the most trustworthy person.
Yeah,
and then you're put in a position where you have to backstab in the challenge. Did you feel like that moment was a turning point in your game in any regards?
100%. So first of all, I think I realized at that point that I was most of the trustworthy. When everyone trusts you, that means that you're lying to somebody. And at that point, you're probably lying to multiple people. So I had a lot of time, you know, I'm separated from everybody. They, you know, I was in the banker's quarters, you know, maybe the dungeon, just separated from them. But I let that get in my head. I was like, oh, I need to separate myself. I knew Stephanie and Melissa were at odds. So my plan was like, okay, when I come back, what's going to happen? And, you know, I didn't think I'd have this much power, but I knew that it'd be something if I had influence, I wanted my influence to be, let me stick with Melissa and Rob. I really trust them even more. You know, my regret would be, I should never have gotten involved. Just like they had their issues. And look, and I'm really close with Alyssa still to this day. And it wasn't my battle to fight. So I never got involved, but, I think nowadays everyone was like, I didn't really trust him, but look, I got 7 out of 8 people to trust me. So I think I did a pretty good job, and credit to Amy for not trusting me. That's probably the right choice.
Was there anything that you were surprised that was not shown from the show or was shown either in this episode or in previous episodes?
Yeah, a few things. The big one's going to be like, it's easy to say for me now because I understand people don't believe it, but I did actually lean into the Vlog's minion thing. You know, I got some flack for that from the cast. They thought I think people legitimately thought I was weak, and fair enough. I wasn't strong in the excursions, but, once I realized that people thought I was Rob's, like I listened to whatever Rob said, I leaned into it, and I leaned into it so much that I started getting second guessing it. When in reality, I should have just accepted it. Like that is what got me as far as I did. Was Jameel was seen as number two guy, but he was seen as this guy, this small sociable guy who's schmoozing people, to use a phrase that was thrown by Amy. But I was seen as the quiet naughty guy who's just. You know, I literally used to make myself smaller to even emphasize that I was not a threat. So I wish they did that. But look, to be honest, if you're fair, I was influenced by Rob. So my truth isn't 100% is 100% reality, I'm sure. And then the big thing to me will always be my two connections with Stephanie and Jordan. The connection with Stephanie is, I think, the most important part of the story. Like, part of the reason some of our conversation got in my head and made me second guess myself is I did trust her at one point, and we did have a relationship. Like, that created, like, weight. Like, she is portrayed as a villain in the show. And look, I'm not in love with all her actions, but she's a four-dimensional person. She's a human being. She's not, like, none of the Night Owls are as bad as their edits. I don't love with all their comments. The Dumb and Dumber comment is a little mean, but it's not that big of a deal. Look, I said some mean stuff that they didn't show. So it's so fair. You know, that's totally fair for it to make that joke. But yeah, so I wish they'd shown a little more of Stephanie's relationship. And then I'll say mean read Jordan's relationship. Jordan, I think, you know, she's in the final four right now, and she was invisible for a few edits. And I was surprised. I was like, I really felt like, you know, I could tell Jordan was playing the middle, but I felt like she was tactfully playing the middle. And I thought that she's under edited. I think that I knew she was in the final four. I know that at least. So to see, you know, but she was always super calm, never in the arguments. And me and Alyssa really close. She got close with Rob, but never trusted him because it's Rob. But, So maybe my two friendships, but look, I got a lot of screen time. You can't dedicate the whole show to me. So they showed a lot of my relationships. I was very lucky that way.
All right, Aaron, I got a few more for you before we wrap up. I want to know, do you think Rob underestimated you?
Maybe a little at the starting. I think, but eventually, no. I think he knew I was, you know, he knew that I was a good player. I talked to him later. He said, one of his interviews, he said, they asked him, do you look for people that you can manipulate? He says, I either look for people that I can use to my benefit and, you know, manipulate. And there's some people I'm sure that you can name on his Survivor seasons, and people that are smart and know the game. And I'll use the example of he was aligned with Sandra and Courtney, and he was with villains. He's aligned with Amber, who, by the way, I talked to Amber. I got to know her personally. She is super smart. I thought she was a worthy winner when I saw this, when I watched all the seasons when I got back, but she's super smart. But anyway, Rob, Rob told me afterwards, he's like, I asked him, I was like, look, which one was it? And he said, look, I knew you were a smart guy. I could tell. So, I think he knew, but, I think he knew the right buttons to push and pull my heartstrings a little bit too. So a bit of both.
All right. Two more. If you got to play this game again, what would you, is there anything that you would do differently?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, it's funny. It's the really simple decisions. It's why am I playing so hard? And you know, I'm in a poor position. I try to find Miranda, the one middle ground. I credit to her. She made me think that she was upset at Stephanie. There's a, the edit you'll see is like, she's like so confused when Stephanie didn't know the plan. And I think I really thought that that she was upset with Stephanie, and I pushed that, and I really shouldn't, and I really didn't need to, and I really shouldn't have even put her in the position to begin with. So I played the game a little too hard at points, but and then making a simple decision as walkie-talkie, like the map, and the big one is choosing the wrong case. So you know, it all comes down to the fact that I didn't trust my gut, and I just should have played it the way I thought of it, and not my overthought things. So. But that's the learning opportunity. It was amazing. I needed those mistakes to further me, hopefully in life, but even in if I do another show.
All right, Aaron, this is the most important question.
Yeah.
I got to know. You're a Boston kid now living in Illinois.
Yeah.
So you're a big time Patriots fan. You've got a little bit of interest in Chicago Bears now that you're in Illinois.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Big draft last week. We had three quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 6 in the top 12.
Yeah.
Are you riding with Drake May? You think Drake May is going to be the best one of the group, or how would you rank these quarterbacks?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Like, look, my opinion of the draft is you just draft like 10 quarterbacks in a row. Eventually you get it right. Look, we used to pretend like quarterback is like, it's like 60% of the most important position. It feels like 90, put Mahomes out there with like some 12th graders. And I think he gets at least one or two wins. So, Belichick's gone. I still trust in Gerard Mayo. Patriots will sign it, find it somehow. They're like the empire, the evil guys. You know, I was a good guy in the Deal No Deal. I get to root for the bad guys now, so I'm gonna have fun no matter what. I'm optimistic.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time. Would you like to plug anything that you're working on, social media handles, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, if people want to follow me, follow me on Instagram. Don't call me A-A-1, A-Y-A-Y. A little Key and Peele reference. But yeah, I mean, I need to start, I said this a few times, I need to start putting out my handle the same at every single one. My handle is different everywhere. But look, my name is Aaron Barbell. Like, there's no one my name. So if you Google me and you find me on Twitter or find me on TikTok, it's probably me. So, but yeah, follow me around. I'm an accountant. I'm a 9-to-5 guy. But if I ever do another show, I'd love to do another show. And maybe hopefully this isn't the end of my TV show journey.
You mentioned Key and Peele. Have you seen the Key and Peele Deal or No Deal sketch from Mad TV back in the day?
I have not. I mean, I'll have to watch that. I saw the Deal or No Deal survival joke from Parks and Rec, and I was like, did they predict this? Andy from Parks and Rec predicts, like, so he made a survival Deal or No Deal kit tape. So I'm going to have to copy that. I'm going to make my own.
Yeah, it was when Key and Peele were on Mad TV. So it was from a long time
ago. Yeah, the OGs.
Before they got the Key and Peele show. They had a Deal or No Deal sketch. It's great. Highly recommend it.
I will have to watch it. They gave me a lot of jokes to my name, so I owe it to them.
Aaron, thank you so much for your time today, pal. Really appreciate it.
See you.
Well, that concludes our conversation today with Aaron. Special thanks to him for joining us for some thoughts. Really interesting stuff there. I mean, there's a lot more going on. I will say I got the sense that I thought Rob from the edit was underestimating Aaron a little bit. And I'm also, we'll dive into it later in our recap. Would it have been a good move for him to take out Rob or to take out Stephanie? What's the right move there? We will discuss with Brooke. And joining us on this week's recap is Bergie from the Traders and Love Island. And then we'll have, as I mentioned earlier, Deal or No Deal Island Insiders. Nick will join Miranda and myself. Should be a lot of fun. Make sure you guys are all subscribed to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. You can follow me at Jack Vita Show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And until next time, I'm Jack Vita, bringing the dance of lobsters.